private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
Hi, everyone. Iggy here to tell you about the fine folks down at Bertarelli.
Now, hold on, Iggy. Not trying to interrupt here, but I'm doing Bertarelli cutlery.
Well, you just did interrupt me, as always.
Well, you know what? Whatever.
You have the address there?
I do. If you let me finish, Bertarelli Cutlery, 1927 Marconi Avenue on the Hill, to get your knives, scissors, and garden tools sharpened, call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives. Bertarelli Cutlery. They never interrupt you like Iggy does.
It's party time at Surf and Sirloin. The holidays are just around the corner, and now is the time to get your holiday party on the books. Located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, Surf and Sirloin can handle anywhere from 15 to 150 people with a menu full of USDA prime beef entrees, 15 seafood specials, and top it off with New York-style cheesecake with strawberries or creme brulee. Call Surf and Sirloin 822-3637 or check them out online, surfandsirloin.com.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Tiger fans, don't miss your chance to support your Mizzou women's basketball team all season long. Our season ticket packages start at just $49. So make sure you get yours now by visiting MUTigers.com or calling 1-800-CAT-PAWS. Also, with every season ticket purchased, you'll receive a special edition Sophie Cunningham bobblehead. This is an exclusive offer for women's basketball season ticket members. Call 1-800-CAT-PAWS or visit MUTigers.com now to be part of our town, our team. We'll see you at Mizzou Arena.
Yeah, rock and roll. Rock and roll 590. Yeah.
Thursday, November 1st, Scott Sherman is in the house. I'll prove it. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Frank.
Can you give me a couple of minutes and then we'll get to your theme? Is that okay?
You bet.
I promised you folks I would share the story with you about the two women carrying the same baby. We will do that in the Playhouse. I haven't forgotten about it. We'll do that. First order of business, though, since it is Thursday and it's the 4 o'clock hour, and we want to get as many people in here as Scott can help before 5 o'clock, let me give you the numbers. Then I will do one bit of business. And while I do that, Dan Strauss can put your name on the screen. I see we already have one calling. I see there's a smart guy. He knows how to get in here. That means the other lines are open, so here we go. 314-821-0590. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. I think it's easier to remember that way. 855. 282-8255. Watch, I'll prove it to you. Dan?
Yes?
Thanks for turning your mic on. I'm going to give you a number to remember, okay. And I want to see if you can remember it without my singing it, because I think singing it makes it easier. 855-282-8255. What was that number?
Eight.
You don't remember, do you?
5529.
See? No. See? All right, how about this? 855 282-8255. Now do you remember?
855-282-8255.
See?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, see, sometimes people don't think I know stuff, but I do. That makes it easier. So you call those, and I will talk to you a little bit about First Community Credit Union. Now, we have the two people right now in the studio who will be here Saturday morning co-hosting the yard sale. They are Scott Sherman and Dan Strauss. It starts at 7, it ends at 9, 7 to 9 o'clock. Sell some stuff. Buy some stuff. Have some fun. Listen to their stories. So it's not just a yard sale. It sort of sometimes morphs into other things. But my point is the sponsor, one and only one sponsor, which makes for a much better show. Not a lot of interruptions, and that sponsor is First Community Credit Union. First Community Credit Union is the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. There are over 40 locations, and not only do they make the yard sale possible, they help make this show possible. And they make it possible for lots of people to finance cars at a rate they couldn't get in many cases, any place else. They make it possible for people to use the equity in their homes to borrow money. It's called a home equity loan. And right now, and I say right now because you can only take advantage of this up to the end of the year. And then, off the table. It is the home equity loan at a special first-year rate, meaning for the first 12 months, your rate is 2.99% APR. You need to talk to them about this because that's money that you can grab at a great rate and use it for anything you want to use it for. It does not have to be just for your home. You could buy a car with it. You could take a trip with it. You could pay tuition, whatever you want to do. Ask them about the home equity loan with that great first 12-month rate of 2.99% APR. It really is a great place to bank for a lot of reasons. And you're not just a customer, you're a member. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law,
late great Johnny Cash.
Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see,
the other day I went to check to see how long Johnny Cash has been dead. I was blown away. Look it up. It's like 15 years or something.
Yeah.
That he's been dead.
They
head of research will find it.
Absolutely love him in Jamaica. He built hospitals there and stuff. And
I'm the one that told you that.
That's right.
Yeah. He'd go to Jamaica. He was. If they had a king, he'd be more powerful than the king because, yeah, he liked Jamaica, had a home there, and Jamaica liked him. But I cannot believe how long he's been gone. It doesn't even seem possible. But that music means it's time for Scott Sherman. We already have lines full, but here's the deal, folks. And Phil, you're up first. When Phil is taken care of and his questions are answered, that means a line is open, and that's when you jump back on. You call one of these numbers, and if it doesn't work, you call the other one. That's called perseverance, persistence. Scott, are you ready to go?
Absolutely.
September 12th, 2003. Was when Johnny Cash
died. I was right, 15 years.
Yeah.
And you know what? He died young, 71.
Yeah.
He was not as old as he looked. He looked like he was 91.
Go on YouTube. You're cutting off there.
And what?
Go on YouTube and watch and type in Johnny Cash imitating Elvis. It is hysterical.
I'll tell you the other thing, as long as we're talking about this, and it's, of course, because that is Scott's theme song, done by Johnny Cash, is go to YouTube and type in Johnny Cash's last interview. And I believe it was done at his home, sat down with a reporter, and I want to say it was, I know within 6 months of his death, I think within 3 months, I think about 3 months after that interview he died. Just type in Johnny Cash's last interview. He looks like a 95-year-old man. And I had no idea he was only 71. Speaking of Scott's segment, before we get to Phil, we cannot and will not forget about Scott's sponsor, Peroni's Pizza. Peroni's Pizza has two locations. They're in Florissant and they're in St. Peter's. And at both locations, they have this incredible all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. But lunch for them, Monday through Friday, means 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's all kinds of great stuff. And on Fridays, it includes their world-famous chicken wings. This is a terrific family, great food, very reasonable prices. I don't know what else you could be looking for. You like toasted ravioli? You like pizza? You like mostaccioli? You like all that stuff? Then you're going to really like it when it comes from Peroni's, P-E-R-R-O-N-I-S. PeroniesPizza.com. Phil, you've been very patient. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. Hello, gang.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
I got a MoDOT wants to work on the highway here in front of my house, and they want to get a temporary easement. It has to do with something with the a drainage problem or something to the highway. Now, before I let them use this temporary easement to draw something up, is that something I need to contact a lawyer with first, or is it worth it?
I don't know anything about this kind of stuff, but my feeling has always been, if they want a temporary easement, they're going to get it, and there's not much you can do about it. Scott, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, Frank's right. I was going to say, in the end, they're getting it. And the reason is that it's necessary for the project that they're doing, but you may want to contact an attorney in case this temporary easement becomes something called a taking. And that's actually part of the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. It's kind of strange, but it is. And if they take your property, meaning they deprive you of either some of the land or some of the use of the land, they may have to compensate you. So it's not as though they can't do it, but they may cough up some dough. So before you give them the green light, you should contact a real estate lawyer, and maybe at some point they may pay you for it, either the use of that or the taking of it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the help, and AM and PM.
There you go. Appreciate it, Phil. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Now, see how this works? A line just opened. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Bob, you're up next. Say hello to Scott Sherman, and welcome to 590.
Thanks, Frank. Scott, my wife and I recently paid off our house. It was August 15th. And we live in St. Louis County. The bank itself sent us a little document saying, I guess, hey, we're happy you paid off your house. Now I'm wondering, should we receive any documents from St. Louis County?
Well, I would definitely check in with the recorder of deeds to make sure that whatever lien or whatever mortgage that was filed is released, so that if you decide you're going to sell it or you're going to use it to borrow some money or do your estate planning, that you have that actual release. It's nice that they sent it to you from whatever the bank or mortgage company, whoever held that mortgage, but it's not official until it is recorded in the recorder of deeds office. So contact them. I think you live in St. Louis County. They're nice people in Clayton. They're not in the courthouse, but they're in that sort of funky building that is called the Roos Building. I don't know who Roos was. Somebody probably knows who that is.
Lawrence Roos.
Yeah, I don't know who that was, but they named a building after him, so he's probably a big deal. And it's up on the third or fourth floor. And go in there, and they will run that for you. And, boy, you're sure doing something right, because you got a house free and clear. Good job.
And chances are, Scott, he doesn't really need to do this. It's never going to be an issue, but it can't hurt to have that.
You never know when you're going to need all of a sudden a lien release. I get people that get their cars totaled, and the scramble that's done between the time of that crash and the time it's decided to pay off or pay them for that becomes a real scramble when they don't have the lien release from the lender. And it's always good to have that. Because
in this case, he has it from the lender. You're saying he should also get this thing from the county, just to be safe.
Just because that is the most valuable investment and holding most people have is their house. Yeah.
Okay.
It's dirt cheap. Almost free.
All right, Bob, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. There goes Bob. Lines are open. 314. Folks, you know how this works? I've told you before. You don't jump in here. Somebody else will. Now, right now, you can do this. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. JP, welcome to 590. The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Phil. Hello, Frank. AM and the
hello,
PM.
JP.
Hello, JP.
JP, like JP Morgan.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, there were
no,
two JP Morgans. Well, there was the very wealthy one, but there was a woman, an actress named JP Morgan many, many years ago.
Gong right. Show.
Now, so your last name is not Morgan, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. What do you have for Scott? What do you have for Scott?
My mother passed away about a year ago, and we've been trying to get a letter of testamentary, and I had consultations with three lawyers. They all said just give them all the documents. They get back and give me a price on what it would cost. And none of them have come back with anything substantial. One has never contacted me at all back. And do I have to have anything else to go to court, to the St. Louis County so I can get this letter of testamentary?
They're morons. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. Letters testamentary, it's the easiest. I mean, if that's what they do and they can't do that, that's like somebody saying that they're a mechanic and they can't figure out how to open the hood of the car. I mean, it's the absolute easiest thing for an estate planning lawyer to do. Before you do go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say that she had a will.
Yep.
My father had a will. This is for some Leclerc gas stock that my dad did not put anybody's name on. And they're telling me all I have to do is have that so we can get it, a medallion, so we can get the stock transferred to my sister's name.
Was there an executor of the estate named in the will?
Yes.
Is that you? Okay, you're the two of
yes.
you. You're the this is real world executrix. Actually, the two of them,
okay.
Executrixes. It's real.
All right.
But it doesn't, usually these things don't self-authenticate. So you have to have somebody help you with that. If you will give my person a chance, because he's not a moron, send me an email and he will either walk you through the steps or he'll do it for a low fee to get that estate opened, and then the letters testamentary will be issued by the probate court and you can get rid of, or rather properly transfer, these things that were left in the will. And
yeah, it's the only thing.
Yeah, I know.
The beneficiary, all that stuff was taken care of.
The one thing, it should have been put into a trust, and then it would have been done without probate. This is another one of these nightmare on probate street, since Halloween just happened. It's one of those things, it's not going to happen until it happens. So I'm not an expert in stocks and bonds. I'm not a transactional lawyer with those Article 2 paper. I don't know, whatever article they are of stocks. Sometimes I think that stuff can be transferred like a bank account, transferable on death. I'm not sure. But I know who does, and it's not the idiots that you contacted earlier that can't figure out how to get the easiest and simplest thing in the probate estate planning world, which is opening the estate. It's terrible.
Okay.
Lawyering.
JP, do you know Scott's email address?
It's law office Scott Sherman Gmail, right? Correct?
I think you said it right. Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com. Close enough. All right, JP.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
We
appreciate it.
Thank
all right. Kevin is next. Line's open, everybody. Kevin is next. Kevin, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. Needless to say, I'm AM in the PM.
Oh, no, it's never needless.
Yeah, just to follow up, talking about, you know, that temporary easement and everything, I'm a real estate guy, and my grandma lived on Telegram. And the highway department came in, and they'll give you $1,200 for a tree, a certain number per square foot that they basically take of your front yard. But they also have what they call damage to the remainder. In other words, if they widen the street and take part of your front yard, they'll make an adjustment. They basically, on their website, invite you to sue them. And I did ran a bunch of comparables and said, basically, you took my Tata's $140,000 house and made it worth only $110,000, because now she's got to back out on Telegraph. And I ran all these houses that sell on Telegraph, and they gave her $25,000.
That's Whoa. Good work. Very good work. I know a guy who's got one of these boutique law firms where he specializes in eminent domain work. And all of these airport expansions, hospital takings, road widenings, when they go through these communities and they offer people money, he specializes in representing them. And this guy has made an unbelievable fortune, not only for himself, but he's made a tremendous amount of money for the homeowners that, just sure. like in this situation with Kevin's mom, would have just taken pennies on the dollar and were entitled to more. So eminent domain can be bad. It can also be quite lucrative if you don't just roll over. So good job, Kevin.
God bless you. Yeah, all my grandma's neighbors settled and took the $2,000, $800, whatever it was. And I'm like,
that's what most people do. Most people do that. Most people are easily intimidated. Most people think that if it looks in any way governmental, even if it's local, well, we can't fight that. Let's just take it and be glad we got what we got. That's most people. Good for you, man. Look at the difference. They get $1,200. She gets $25,000. Big difference.
Frank, she's elated. She paid $18,000 for the house in 1931.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. She was more than happy. Yeah, sorry, I missed the jokes yesterday. I was all wound up, and I didn't call in time. I totally messed up.
Yeah, go to the podcast. You don't have to miss them. They're on the podcast. You got
awesome.
App?
Awesome.
Yeah, just go up in the left-hand corner of the app and pull up any old show you want to. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for listening. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Have a good day, Kevin.
Okay, that opens the line again, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. This is Joe. Joe, welcome to 590. The fans, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Joe.
Hey,
thank you, Joe.
I've got a question about timeshare, God forbidden timeshare that I own. I've owned it for, my God, for probably 15 years. Anyway, it is paid for. Oh, there I go.
Yep, you did it.
I own it, but I am backed up on taxes and maintenance fees, and I really don't even know what I owe. Am I better to not contact them and go through I want out of it, actually. And am I better to, before I talk to them and find my balance, would I be better off to talk to a lawyer and have them get my balance and try to, like, use a timeshare exit team or somebody like that?
My answer before Scott takes over is you're better off talk to a lawyer, because they're going to tell you, they're not going to give you all your options. They're going to tell you what they want you to hear, Scott.
That's on the screws and out of the park. That's right. Understand what a lawyer's role is, and it's not necessarily if you pay them. When you talk to a lawyer, their job and what they're mandated to do is to be loyal to you. The people in the timeshare are just trying to make money off of you. They sold you some piece of garbage you didn't need. I mean, it's war.
Can anybody else hear what I hear in the background?
There's a little echoey thing.
Is that Joe, you have a radio on or something?
No, I got you on speakerphone. Maybe I can take you off there.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Let's see if I can get...
It's weird. Anybody else hear that?
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't hang up. I'm trying to get this thing to light up, but... I don't think it'll hang up.
Now it changed your voice.
There you are.
Joe, it sounds like to me like you might be married and has a wife who's trying to tell you what to do.
Yeah, you get that feeling too?
No, that does not happen in my house. Ever.
Mine either. I'm not married.
Sorry, pick up where we left off. Scott, you were
so, I think Frank's exactly right. The duty of loyalty for the lawyer runs to you. The other place has no duty of anything except to try and make as much money as possible. So they sold you this horrible thing, this albatross. They're not going to do you any favors to get out of it. They're going to tell you a bunch of things to scare you into selling it for the least possible or to pay up the most, even if it's more than you owe. So I'd have get all your documents together about that timeshare. Give me an email. I'll send you to a real estate lawyer. It's not going to cost you. Probably won't cost you anything to talk to them. And see if you can put together a strategy to exit out of this thing and maybe get something for it. I don't know anything about these marketing places for this exit timeshares, but I just tend not to trust places like that.
No, and I think of them the same way I think of the places that want to buy out your insurance policy. They're opportunists. They know you don't want the timeshare, and they're going to offer you pennies on the dollar for it. Just like the people who buy insurance, life insurance policies, who want to prey on older people who don't have much money, and so they're going to give up their life insurance policy for, you know, half what it's worth. No, I don't trust the exit timeshare places either. So it'd be worth whatever couple of bucks, even if it's that, Joe, to get in the attorney. Do you have Scott's email address?
Yes, I do. It's Scott Sherman.
No.
Nope. Law@ScottSherman@gmail.com.
All right, now do that again.
Law@ScottSherman@gmail.com.
Shoot him an email. He'll help you. We'll get this. You'll get it fixed, okay?
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
I'll take a moment to say something here. I'm sure there are good timeshares. Some people get real upset if especially the people, and I know people who've bought a timeshare, and if you say anything critical about it, they get really mad because, one, they don't want to hear that they've done something stupid, and they refuse to admit it. Well, I'll have you know, we love our timeshare. Well, we can anytime we want, we can trade it for any place in the world. They've got all kind of blah, 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 blah. Truth is, most of them wish they didn't have it. And there are all these companies out there just waiting to pounce to give you a fourth of what you probably should get out of it or have in it. So be careful with the timeshares. Jer is next. Jer, welcome to 590. The Fan, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Frank, first of all, I want to say thank you. You make my day every day that you're on the air.
And Jer, that is very nice. That's very nice. Thank you.
It's the truth. And
well, I
want to say, I want to say hi to Scott. Hey,
hi,
I enjoy talking to you, Scott.
I do the same.
I got a number of issues. I need somebody with your expertise, but I won't bore you with all of them, but I do have one. It's short and sweet, so I'm hoping you can give me an answer. But I would like to talk to you when you have a free moment off the air. Here's the situation. My mom passed away. I got a notice from the Treasury Department that they're holding some funds that belong to my mom. So I went ahead and checked on it. Come to find out, it's the funds they're holding is less than $10. Unfortunately, we had water in the basement and ruined our records. So I went to the county to find out it's going to cost me $13 to get a birth certificate. It doesn't make sense for me to spend $13, get less than $10. Is there anything else I can do in way of a document to satisfy the state of Missouri?
Did she have an estate that was opened when she passed away for her sort of her will or anything?
She had a will.
She did have a will. Why don't you try a copy of the will? Would have her information on that, date of birth, social security number. It's been notarized, witnessed. See if that works. I mean, it is $10, and I don't blame you for not wanting to spend $13 to try to get $10. But if they would accept at least a witnessed and notarized copy of her will, they may cough up the $10. Is this the thing from that website, like the Missouri Treasurer Department that they set up a couple years ago? That's a good thing. I think everybody should go on to that because you never know how much money or what stuff is just kind of sitting there waiting for you to come get it. But in your case, I wouldn't put up too much effort for that. But try the will. You have that, right?
The will. Okay, I can try that. Okay.
Yeah, it's good enough for the court. It should be good enough for the treasurer of the state of Missouri.
Sure. Okay, I'll try that. I appreciate that. That's something I didn't even think about. So it's less than $10. I'm thinking it's probably like $6-$7 that they're holding.
Can I ask you a question? Why would you go to any trouble at all for $5? Because any trouble means you're going to spend at least an hour on this or whatever. And then some correspondence back and forth and your time and your, it's $5. Is there any downside to just forgetting about it and telling them to keep it and just walk away?
No, I can do that too. They just sent me a couple of notices in the mail asking me to go ahead and get it cleared up. So I went ahead and I sent a notice that was in the newspaper, but they wouldn't accept that.
Okay, I actually do understand if wanting to get it cleared up. It's not so much about the money. You just want to get rid of them so they don't keep pestering.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
If you need to get a hold of Scott for anything, do you know his email address?
Well, the problem is that I tried to send something to him and I couldn't get through.
How about this?
You can always get through with an email.
Jared's one of the great yard sale callers. Call Saturday. And then off the air, Dan will get your number, and we'll talk off the air.
Will you do that for me?
Of course I will.
Mm-hmm. I sure appreciate that. It's very kind of you, Scott.
You're welcome.
You're a good...
Hi, Jim.
You and Frank and Dan, all you guys are good souls.
Well, you're two-thirds right. You'll have to figure out which two-thirds.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Jared, thank you for listening.
You guys have a great day. I really appreciate it.
All right, we appreciate you. Thank you, Jer. There goes Jer. Good, loyal listener. Holy cow. Rick is next in line. And, Rick, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott Sherman. It's Rick here, Frank and Dan. I am a first-time caller. I've been with you guys for almost 22 years through many stations.
What took you so long? And don't make it the last time. What do you have for Scott? Thank you.
Well, this is my situation, Scott, and it's I made a huge mistake 2 years ago and co-signed a loan, a car loan for my son. My son decided, and he is let's say 20, he's over 26 years old, and he took out a loan with one of the legal loan sharks that we have in town that charge 135% interest if you don't pay it an X amount of period of time. And he never paid them, and now he owes them thousands upon thousands of dollars. This is my question. They have not located him. However, he does have that car, and it's a rather nice car. Can they come back? Can they repossess the car and come back on me and affect my credit?
Right.
Can I take a run at this?
Oh, yeah.
First of all... this is Rick, right?
It is. Thanks,
yeah.
Rick, there's something you said in the very beginning here, and I don't think you're right about that. You said you made a huge mistake in co-signing a loan for your son. I don't think that's a huge mistake. He's your son, and you did what a dad would do. There's no way you could have known that 2 years later he'd go off and do this. So don't beat yourself up because you co-signed on a loan. First of all, second. I absolutely think they could probably get the vehicle, but I'm not the attorney here, so I'll just go ahead and turn this one over to Scott.
No, I hate these places. These title loan places and these check payday loan places are disgusting, and they prey on people. And it would be usury if it wasn't for one of Missouri's worst governors, Bill Holden, who about 15 years ago allowed this practice by signing a bill that lets them charge up to about 1,000% interest.
Wait, is this one of those? Is this one of those buy here, pay here?
No,
places?
No. This is This is the title loan stuff.
Oh,
where they give you $500 and then you owe them $5,000 in like 2 months.
Yeah,
and so yes, they can. They can repo it, and they can sell that car because he didn't pay, because he gave them a lien on the vehicle. The problem that you have is that you are responsible for the note for the loan that was made for the original purchase. So, yes, you could get hit. Now, you may have to continue to make payments on a car that doesn't exist soon. Since you're not really driving it, that's probably about the same position you'll be in, except Sonny's going to be on his own for his next set of wheels.
I do not believe that he gave the title because it wasn't clear title. He gave his name, but there is. He has an asset that's in his name, which is that car.
But the first lien holder is the bank or whoever the car loan place was.
Right, it's through Wells Fargo.
This place... This scavenger hunt place is going to be second to the rights of the original or first lien holder, which is the auto lender. So they can't jump in front of the car place. Here's the mistake that you made. When you lent, it's not that you, like Frank said, it's not that you co-signed. You should have grabbed a hold of that lien or that title and put it in your safe and said, you're not taking this anywhere.
I have it.
Good. And what you also probably should have done is put your own lien up to the amount of your indebtedness as a second lien holder to the car place so that if it did get paid off, then you still, was it a gift or were you expecting him to pay you back?
No. I just co-signed a loan for him with the bank.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, then they are, the title place, inferior to the bank. So the bank's rights.
As long as I keep making the payments.
They
can't screw with it.
Well, they can screw with it, but they can't force themselves in front of the other lien holder.
Good.
So don't ever give up that title. But he's made a huge mess out of this.
No kidding. And you would not. Now, can I add one? And I know I don't want to take much time. If he was to file bankruptcy because he's in that, could that loan go away that he has with those bad people?
Yes. But you can't have a preference over your creditors. So he can't pick them over the car loan
everybody.
But there's an exception, and that is that when you do file bankruptcy, you file Chapter 7, you can recommit to the original loan. So in a sense, he can beat this title loan place out of what they say he owes him and then recommit to that, to the car loan that he had, and get out of this. But
That
you're still on. And they're not going to let you off of it until it's paid off.
But he also now has bankruptcy.
That's right.
On his record.
Yeah, his best move right now, and I don't know how much he owes these people, is to have a meeting with you and to find out what that payment amount is. Are you on the title or are you just the co-signer?
I am on the title the title is in his name, my name, and the bank's name.
Oh, so you're a co-owner of the vehicle?
Yep.
Take it. It's your car. Take it.
Rick, what did he show them to get the money? What do they have?
Frank, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's
normally this doesn't make any sense. Can I ask you how much is he into them for?
Right, his original amount was $1,600. He called them
original
on
meaning
Monday.
And original meaning he went back and got more money?
Hmm.
No. The original was he borrowed $1,600. It immediately, if he doesn't pay in 30 days or 60 days, goes up by 135%. And then it goes compounds on top of that. It's brutal.
What's the cutoff date again before it goes up 135%?
I think 60 or 90 days. He's far past it, Frank.
What Scott just said, if you really listen, makes all the sense in the world. Is there a way you can work something out with him where you pay the $1,600, but then you have a come to Jesus meeting and he doesn't have that car anymore and you do, and he has a very clear understanding this kind of crap will never happen again, and he can work off the $1,600 somehow down the road. Scott, does that make sense?
It does, and I want to clean up what I said.
$1,600, but it went up. It's probably $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah.
Hold on. I didn't know that.
That's probably where it is now. Now, if Rick, if you wanted, this is just to clean up what I said. If you did pay that off, and I'm not telling you to, but let's say you did pay that off, then I would seize the title, as you have, and lock it in your safe. But I would also put a lien on that vehicle as a second lien holder for what you paid that loan off for, so that when it's paid off and the first lien holder, the bank, is satisfied, he can't sell that car without you getting $6,000 back first.
Yep. And the car's worth...
It's probably worth...
amount of money.
Let's say in 5 years it'd probably be worth 10 grand still.
All right, for my own education, before we bail from this, Scott, if they don't pay the $5,000-$6,000 or whatever it is, what happens? What do those slime balls do? They sue them.
They sue them.
Or aren't we also talking about a kind of business where they may very well send somebody to send him a message? I mean, I know that sounds like something out of a movie. No?
No, those guys don't charge as much. Guys that hurt your kneecaps, the VIG was a lot smaller than this.
So they'll sue his son.
Yeah.
And then here we go in another mess, and your son has to get an attorney.
And that's about the point when he should file bankruptcy.
Now wait, Rick, you're not on the title. You're not on that loan.
I am on the loan.
He said he co-signed for the loan.
With that?
He's on it.
The $1,600 loan?
No, not with the title.
No.
I sure hope that they made a mistake at the title company because you're a co-owner and they lent him the money and he beats them out of it rather than somehow your name is on that loan with the title company. Have you seen the original title loan?
I haven't.
You have the title loan, the $1,600 loan paperwork.
No.
That you need to see.
No.
You need to see that from your son.
Well, the interesting thing is, and I know I'm taking too much time here.
No.
But the interesting thing is what that company has called friends of ours, people trying to track my son down, right? They've called me. They have my number. They have my wife's number. And they have tried to find out where he is, which I will not disclose.
Good.
And I've said, so look, I want to help my son out. Tell me all about this stuff that's going on. They refuse to talk to me, meaning, in my opinion, my name is not on that loan.
That's good. Another thing is, think about this. They may be violating the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. I have a
They're calling our friends.
That might be something I want you to talk to a consumer lawyer I know about. This would be the greatest jujitsu move in the world. These scumbags are trying to get at your son for this ridiculous usury loan. What if they were violating federal law by trying to collect that or trying to locate him, and you had someone that knows how to sue these people, and your son or you or somebody could get money out of them? Or at least use their violation as
a pen in my hand. I have a pen in my hand. I'm going to call you.
Send me an email, and I'll give you the guy's
name. Law office is scottsherman.com.
At Gmail.
At gmail.com.
I'm sorry. At gmail.com.
You got it.
How old is your son, Rick?
26. He's 20.
20 oh. No, I lied there. He's 29.
Oh.
Okay. All right, well, Rick, good luck with this.
Hey,
what a mess.
I'm AM in the PM, guys. Thank you.
We appreciate that. Wow, you know what? What I don't get here, what am I missing here? How do they know who their friends are to call the friends of this kid's dad? He said they're calling our friends. How do they know who their friends are?
It's the stuff that Tim does. There are lots of websites, and he can explain it better than I do, where associates and affiliated numbers are readily available based on Social Security.
How about Facebook?
Actually, the software
Facebook friends.
The software I have, Frank, if I were to run a background check on Scott Sherman, it would show me, and this software is monitored by the FBI, it would show me every person he's ever had an apartment lease with, ever been on a cell phone plan with, ever co-signed or applied for a loan with, anybody that he's been known to have conducted business with or any type of credit-based transaction with, had a utility turned on at an address at the same time where maybe somebody had the cable in their name and he had the electricity in his name. The software they have now where they find out who your friends and family are, it's unbelievable.
Well, the other thing I keep forgetting about is Facebook. A lot of people have, you go, whether you're a friend or not, go to their Facebook page. It goes, other friends of this person.
But they hide them. A lot of people hide them now because they don't want people to know who their friends are.
But I've seen some that aren't, and I don't have a Facebook page, and I got in there because they didn't hide them. You're right. Some people don't want you to see, but others make it, here there are other friends who've friended me, so maybe they're using that too. We could probably work, depending on what Randy needs here. Let's try and see what we can do for him quickly. Randy, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm calling from West Virginia, so I don't know if you can help me out or not, but it should be a simple one. It has to do with insurance.
Yes, sir.
I had a antique store business here a couple years back. I had some bad health issues. Put me back. I lost my business. And I kept a few items when I auctioned everything off. I kept a few things in storage. And I got the renter's insurance, I guess, for my contents. For storage, and I slowly started putting stuff back into vendor markets as I tried to recoup myself and fill myself back up. Things never got going. I didn't pay the monthly premiums on the insurance, the renter's insurance. It was next to nothing, but still I didn't pay it. I just totally forgot about it, and I was struggling and everything. Anyhow, all because I get so many phone calls on these fraudulent IRS and lawyers, you know, trying to get your money in scams. Every time I see a phone number coming through, I don't recognize. I just hit delete. And I was going through my voicemails the other day, and one of them was a lawyer from representing that insurance company, and pretty much just said, we've been trying to get a hold of you, and has pretty much just said, we're just going to proceed with actions now. So granted, I didn't follow up. I've never made any claims. I'm not making any claims on the insurance or nothing. It's just one of the things that just got let go. And so now I've got this phone call that they're going to pursue. Can they do? I guess they could. But can you fill me in? What do I expect?
Can I take it?
Yes.
Here. Am I the only person? Something doesn't make sense here. You have every right to not make your insurance payments. You said you didn't make a claim. I don't understand what they're coming after you for. You just stopped paying your insurance premium. Scott, you can take it.
Frank's right. This is a warning. Don't answer that call. I don't believe that's a law firm. I don't see where it is that you have anything that you owe them where they would be making a claim. And 99.99% of the time, lawyers don't pick up the phone to call people about stuff. They send letters. Those are mandated letters that have to come through the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and at the bottom of them they say in big bold letters, this is an attempt to collect a debt. Lawyers aren't calling you. I can barely get them to call me, and I am dealing with the cases where there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake. It's not happening, so ignore that. I don't know if, did you or your business ever file bankruptcy?
No.
Okay. Then you don't have anything to worry about with respect to whether the bankruptcy trustee owns those assets. You're just a guy trying to get back on his feet. If you didn't pay your premiums and you make a claim, they will deny it, and they will do that in writing. Other than that, you're not going to hear from them. So I don't know who these people are, but I can tell you who they're not. They're not legitimate. Yeah. And unless you get some in mail, usually certified mail or express mail, it ain't worth worrying about. So, Randy, put your energy into getting back on your feet. All our best to people in West Virginia, and good luck.
Mm-hmm. Get a good night's sleep tonight, because you don't have to worry about this.
Call the yard sale. We'll sell some of the stuff you got.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Randy.
St. Louis. All right.
You don't have to bring it. Just get on the phone Saturday morning. Randy, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Wow, these were some good ones. I learned a lot today. Let me mention your sponsor. That's very important. If you folks like this segment, and we know you do from day one, then you can thank Peroni's, Peroni's Pizza. Peroni's Pizza is in Florissant and in St. Peter's, peronispizza.com. I know, I would wonder how to spell it too. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., a great all-you-can-eat buffet at both locations. And on Friday, it includes their world-famous chicken wings, Peroni's Pizza, peronispizza.com. Scott Sherman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
As always, Scott will be back again next Thursday. Should we close out? Let's close out with his music, because I like the music, and then I'll do one bit of business, and the next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock and news in the Playhouse. Let me have that Johnny Cash thing. I like that music. Just to make it official. And we're closing Scott's segment. There. Sing it, Johnny. Come on.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right?
Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to all the callers every Thursday, every day, any show. We appreciate it. All right, working our way toward the news and the Playhouse. Window World sells more replacement windows than any other window company in the United States. The company that's number two is a distant number two. How can this be? How do they do this? Well, most people who put in replacement windows just want one thing. They want a good, solid window that's going to last a while, and they don't want to pay a whole lot for it. They want a reasonable price. They don't expect it for free. You're not going to need any window for $50, but it is probably and obviously, most people have decided, the best value out there in replacement windows. They have the good housekeeping seal of approval, which only one other window company has. That's how hard it is to get that. And a lifetime warranty that includes everything, the glass breakage, the labor, parts, everything. There's only one Window World. There are other window companies that wish they were Window World, that have tried to somehow make you think they're Window World in copying their ad. It hasn't worked. Not going to work. If you want to know more, go to windowworldstlouis.com, and remember that Window World is the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. We're there. We are there. News time and then the Playhouse. It's 5 o'clock at 590, The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoyne. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
ABC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Just days ahead of the crucial midterm elections, President Trump claims the U.S. is being invaded by illegal immigrants, which is placing an enormous strain on the U.S.
Illegal immigration affects the lives of all Americans. Illegal immigration hurts American workers, burdens American taxpayers, and undermines public safety.
Speaking at the White House today, Trump said it costs America billions of dollars a year. He said no longer will a meritless appeal for asylum be a free pass for entry to the U.S. He said those seeking asylum will have to present themselves lawfully at a port of entry. The man accused of the shooting rampage at a Pittsburgh synagogue is pleading not guilty.